America.
Start listening now.
We broke Sam. We didn't even start recording, and Sam's laughing because I said a stupid thing.
Well, yeah, we were going to record an intro, but then we said that Capoeira was the Gilbert Gottfried of martial arts, and now look what she is.
Derek, for all the music.
No, we could keep going. See, Gilbert Gottfried is...
is an American comedian.
Yeah, an actor. And whatever, just roll it. And welcome to another Brazilian dance episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country that has about 50 states at the time of recording. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I hate you guys.
And I'm Danny.
I think I'm okay. All right. Yeah, all right. I'm Sam. I'm Sam. And I've just...
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, now I have the hiccups. So, how y'all doing?
Doing
oh, I'm great.
Yeah, the I'm question great. Is,
how are you doing?
I think I'm okay. Think I might need my appendix taken
Sam
out.
Sam doesn't know where she is right now.
Who are you people?
Oh, we're 12 points from America, the Eurovision podcast from America.
Okay, okay.
Et cetera.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, all that.
You know. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome.
Sam, distract welcome yourself with the red bubble in the socials.
Okay, yes. Yeah. If you want to follow into the craziness that these guys tend to throw onto the internet, feel free to follow us on social media at 12pointsusa on Facebook or Twitter. Email us directly at 12pointsusa@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Check out our Redbubble. We've got all sorts of crazy merch over there, even crazier than some of the non sequiturs that Eric throws at me when we're not actually recording, causing me to rip a stitch laughing my butt off. If you are listening to us on any of the major podcast providers, feel free to give us a review. Feel free to let us know what you think of the show. Every review that you leave, every star that you leave us helps us become a better show and helps us reach more people. And the more, the merrier. So somebody else talk so I don't have to, please.
Well, I need to shout out Sam for a moment, because when you put it that way, I realize how grateful I am that Sam approaches this this show with such professionalism.
Poise. Yep.
So that I don't have to. There's a balance, you see. There's a balance.
I needed that, guys. Thank you. No, thank you for completely making me lose my expletive deleted just now. Love you guys.
It's as good a day as any to talk about Eurovision news.
That's right. Yeah, why don't we do that? Actually, before we get into the news, we have a quick burning question. We've really been enjoying doing these, and we had a real scorcher of a question come in that we're gonna talk about really quick. This is from Carter S., who reached out to us and asked, this is a great question, and I'm going to yield to somebody else so that I don't have to answer this. Why do you think Eurovision preferences, i.e. like songs that do well in the contest, end up being so mystifying to Americans? Like, not us, obviously, but the majority of Americans. Are we really that different? That is the question. Danny, you said you had some thoughts on this.
Yeah, I have a couple. So this, during this year, I feel like 50% of the population of the world got really into Animal Crossing New Horizons. And Vox did this video about the original translation of the first Animal Crossing game, and they used a phrase that has lived with me ever since, and it's the phrase cultural odor, which is to say that, you know, there are a lot of things that can be updated and localized when things translate over, but if there isn't like a medium through which it can be filtered, it can have something that is just, it's most helpfully called cultural odor. It's an indistinct and yet very, very tangible, very real and very discernible sort of foreignness. And I think that is kind of what goes on when most of the uninitiated Americans look at Eurovision.
In the sort of, this is a thing that happens over there, so we're seeing it through the lens of...
It doesn't help that Eurovision itself has a 50, 60, 70 year, you know, backlog of its own sort of cultural cache that it's built up, its own sort of in-jokes and, like, subculture for itself. And for, you know, you to be an entire continent away trying to discern what is going on there. I'm sure there are many acts that are that don't really have cultural odor. I think of like Mahmoud was a great act from Italy that instantly Americans recognize it as that's just a really good hip hop song. But then they would encounter something like Solovey and go, what is going on? So I will just chalk it up to that phrase, cultural odor.
I'm not quite sure where to go through with that. I'm like, now I can't get the image of like Daddy Frere with like somebody drawing stink lines over his head.
Stinky.
No, I think for a lot of, and this is a massive generalization, of course, but I feel like American music is often so insular. Like we barely get a lot of British or even Canadian influences coming over. And when something does cross over, it's a big deal. You know, occasional Swedish act, but Eurovision comes into things from a different angle. It's, you know, there are some countries that are trying to create that sort of universal sound that everybody can vote for. But there are some that people will bring a song from a nation that they're doing it for themselves. I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about how Portugal, for example,
Portugal
is going to Portugal. They're going to do their own thing. And like you mentioned before, Solovey from Ukraine, those songs aren't necessarily meant to be
an American style pop song.
Right. Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. They're supposed to be, you know, representations of their own culture and really the flag bearers for their nation for a year. So I think realizing that Eurovision is as diverse as it is, I'm not surprised that it's mystifying to some Americans. it's honestly very similar to a British audience as well. We look at the influence of the late Terry Wogan, who was the commentator for many, many years. After a certain while, it turned into, look at what these silly other Europeans are doing. And it just didn't cross over. It became sort of an otherness that even existed within Europe that I think, unfortunately, has really taken a toll on British sentiment about Eurovision in general. But that's kind of a conversation maybe for another day, or possibly one that we've kind of already had before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly in one of our earliest episodes talking about the United Kingdom. But
I think maybe.
Neither here nor there. It's so hard to break into the American market, the American consciousness anyway. But when you're doing it in Portuguese or you're doing it from a country where a lot of Americans don't know where it is, you're not going to get a lot of Moldovan crossover unless it's a gimmick. You know, we know Epic Sax Guy, but we don't necessarily know his name is Sergei Stepanov.
I mean, yeah, I definitely knew Epic Sax Guy before I knew much of anything about Eurovision. And I would imagine most people are the same way. I feel like there are a number of things at play here. There's a rash of, I don't want to say anti-intellectualism, although there is a rash of that.
Oh, if we're talking about America, then there definitely is. Yes, yeah,
but like it, as sort of an aside to that, there's just a lack of curiosity about other cultures.
It's a sense of complacency with the idea that American culture's enough.
Yeah, American exceptionalism is certainly a thing, and so if you prescribe to that idea, then what is Eurovision going to offer for you? That being said, I am a little surprised. I shouldn't say surprised. I'm a little disappointed, maybe, that there isn't at least a bit more crossover. Like, you can't tell me a song like Arcade wouldn't have done wonders on American radio. You know what I mean?
I'm wondering how much of that has to do with, say, record labels and promotion. You know, I'm sure if
the entire machine that runs Eurovision anyway.
Right. I mean, a lot of these songs are major label artists or coming from major label artists that if there was an effort to push, say, let's pull the name out of a hat, Sergei Lazarev, onto the American market. I'm just pulling a name out of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, he's a huge star in his home country. I'm sure that it could be done, but it's so hard for a non-American, non-Anglophone artist to break into the market unless you're from South Korea now.
I was going to say like with respect to the language and cultural thing, the biggest music act in the world right now primarily performs in Korean.
That's true.
I don't know that that is necessarily an issue, but I mean, another difference, I guess, is BTS is big here because they want to be big here.
Yeah.
Does Duncan Lawrence want to be big in the US? Probably not.
He already sings in English.
I shouldn't say probably not, but like, is his goal to be a big star in the U.S.? I don't know. Maybe not.
It's happened before. Who's that guy? Like Robbie Williams was one of the biggest musicians in the world. And around 2000, I remember them pushing him a lot on MTV.
Oh yeah, Millennium Angels. Yeah, he had a couple. He had a couple hits here, but he was certainly
never really got a foothold, though.
No.
And I felt like they made a concerted effort to say, like, this guy's famous everywhere else. He should be famous here too. And we just didn't buy into it.
Yeah.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go over to YouTube and watch his video for Rock DJ again.
Oh man, let me see those muscles.
Yep.
This was literally. Jeez, I must have just been on the verge. I was 9 at the time. I wouldn't have been watching MTV.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Danny, ready. You wee bairn.
I know.
It's a great video. Also, this has nothing to do with Eurovision at this point. I feel compelled to note anytime it comes up that Angels is one of the best pop songs of all time. Anyway, I think.
For a standard pop ballad, it's pretty so solid. Good. It's solid. As long as it's the Robbie Williams version and not the Jessica Simpson version, because that was just a bastardization.
The what?
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Eurovision artists, stay where you are. Don't come over here. I suddenly see what the problem is.
Derek, do you have any specific thoughts on this topic?
I think about Kano winning the popular vote in Israel last time, and I didn't see that coming at all. And I don't think a lot of people did. I mean, they seemed genuinely shocked when they won it. And I think one thing we forget is, and Sam talked about this last time, America very much is a monoculture. Wherever you go, I mean, if a song is big in Chicago or New York or LA, it gets around. Most people are going to like it. Versus Europe, where culturally, historically, it's so significantly different, even 50 miles apart, that's like 80 kilometers. But you have to think, like, the song that's really popular at Eurovision has the widest appeal across, you know, 40 different cultures and countries and histories versus the United States, where it's just kind of one. So I think it takes us by surprise because it's cutting across so many different interests and tastes, where we would just say, well, we like this one. Why did it come in 17th?
It brings up some interesting questions as we look towards the creation of an American version of the contest. It's a completely different dynamic here. And I brought this up when people would ask me about it on, you know, different media platforms. That, as Derek was saying, you have 40 some odd different countries and cultures coming at it, and even multiple cultures within one country. But America, you're not going to have that same regional diversity. You know, you have people loving country music in
I think the only big divide is going to be between more urban communities and more rural communities. That's right. Going to be the only big cultural difference.
Yeah, you may have, you know, Louisiana might do something weird and send something in Zydeco, you know, or
Louisiana's going to Louisiana.
Yep. But you're not going to get those same textures at our contest. I worry. So hopefully they step it up and try to get some different stuff going on.
And I think it's impossible to predict what's going to transcend those differences. Like,
absolutely.
Even going into the contest, Amor Pelos Deutsch wasn't, I think it was like 7th in the betting odds. Like, it wasn't high up there. People didn't expect it to sweep the way it did. And once people saw it, they were like, oh, well, that's the winner. By a clear majority.
Did they really know? Did they really know?
I did.
Okay. They voted for it.
But yeah, it's such a crapshoot. I think about our tiny little subsection of folks at my annual parties, what they go for, and how completely different that is often from the end result.
Mm-hmm.
And
for the uninitiated, what sorts of things have won that vote? I know Think About Things won it.
You think about things, for the contest that ever was.
Oh, I remember the party liked Walking Out by Armenia.
Oh, yeah.
Song, yeah. The best. And that didn't even make it out of semis.
Yeah. Lavenda was one that our party picked. We picked Conchita, to our credit, and we also were very, very big on Calm After the Storm. But then again, that was country. So that was a sound that we were familiar with. So it's hard to tell. I think Toy won, but that was partially just because it was so weird and so different.
I remember it being a bit divisive, but I think it did it was more positive than negative for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Thank you again to Carter S. Carter's Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Well, I like that question because I feel like it gets down to the bones of what this podcast is actually about.
Eurovision.
Yeah.
For
Americans.
All right. Well,
we have a ton of news to get through.
Yep.
It's been a full week. We are continuing onward towards song selections and so on, and it is only going to get crazier from here. Let's see. One thing I saw this morning before we get into the country by country stuff is we already have betting odds.
Oh God, like, really?
Yep, there are betting odds. They are stupid, but they're there.
Okay.
Take a guess. Who's number one in the betting odds with basically no information?
It's probably Kano. Norway.
Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Italy or Sweden, I would guess.
Italy is fifth. Norway is sixth. Sweden is second.
Was it Russia?
No, Russia's fourth.
Iceland taking it again?
Iceland is in first at the moment.
Really?
They think Donny Frey is just going to come back again.
Well, he is going to come back again. We don't know exactly how.
In what form? But,
yes. Right, exactly. Could
hopefully
be pog
human.
Form.
Hopefully yeah. human form.
Yeah.
He's not human yet.
He's a real boy.
Who's third then?
Bulgaria.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see. The one song that we actually know, Enchila from Albania with Karma.
Enchilada from Albania.
Yep. 34th. So,
Jesus.
Oh, that's just me.
Yeah, yeah. You know who's at the bottom?
What? Is it San Marino?
No.
What? Who could be worse?
No.
Is it Moldova the UK?
Is actually pretty high.
That's is it the UK? 15th.
It's not the UK.
Is it France?
It is not France. France is in the top 10.
What?
Well, yeah, because we know the national final songs for France. We will have our French song in very, very soon, actually. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a moment, I suppose.
Last place currently, and this breaks my heart. This might have been last when the contest was canceled, and it's just sort of a holdover. But it's Anna Soklic from Slovenia.
Okay.
But that's okay. She's got nowhere to go but up.
True.
Rounding out the top 10 after Norway, Lithuania 7th, Roxen from Romania 8th, France 9th, and Destiny from Malta is 10th. So betting odds.
I
want to say in response to this, Dottie tweeted out stop the count, which is which was fun.
If love him.
This is worth doing now just for that, if nothing else. let's see what else we've got. Somebody noted the first postcard has already been recorded.
On Earth?
Well, that makes sense. I mean, did they see which country it was?
I didn't check. I actually saw that just they finished recording the first postcard and they're moving forward on that. So it's a good sign. But
I mean, I guess they know some artists who are going to be there.
It very well could have been Xiangu, actually. Considering, you know,
home field
advantage. Makes sense.
Yeah. Probably just an easy little
first
train ride or, you know, bike over from wherever he is and get that done.
But it's good that things are moving forward. I want to say, and this seemed weird as a headline because I don't know that it was, I don't think that this contest has been really in doubt in terms of it existing at all.
Sure.
But Graham Norton was quoted as being like, no, there's going to be a Eurovision, I promise. And so there's official and then there's Graham Norton official. And now it's Graham Norton official.
I think also keep in mind that the United Kingdom is also going through their own stuff politically right now that I think some of the unaware/uneducated people looking at Brexit might be thinking, Brexit, are we still in Eurovision? Maybe he was saying that kind of thing. Kind of either heal some people's fears or strike them harder into people's hearts.
Fair enough.
Yes, Eurovision is still going on and yes, we are still in it.
Well, that makes sense. Shout out to Graham Norton, a friend of the show, for confirming what we already knew, but in British accent. Yeah, definitely messed that one up. Let's go to the countries. Where do we want to start?
Go alphabetically, considering I think that's how you've written them into our little cheat sheet here. Is that right?
It should work anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So since our last episode, we've had a whole bunch of songs from Uuden musiikkikilpailu, the Finnish national final. A lot have been released. They've been basically parsing them out one per day over the past few days. So we have gotten the song by Laura, who we know better as Estonia. or is Estonian, I should say. She is not actually Estonia, the entire nation.
Lara, Estonia.
Yeah. So her song Play, any thoughts on...
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, it might go if everything else is just kind of okay as well.
It's not supersonic, I'll put it that way, but it's not bad.
The thing is, it's a lot like supersonic. It's just not as good, I feel like. In terms of structure, in terms of chord progression and that sort of thing, it's a lot like that. Only it doesn't quite have the liveliness that supersonic had, which is discouraging, I guess.
Or the gravitas of the message. Actually, this is more girls' yeah, this is generic, spy isn't
it? Too. Yeah, it's maybe that's the main knock on it. Honestly, is that it's just kind of plain. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing like there's no call to action. There's no
There's no why.
Laura's career is really disappointing because I feel like she's a very talented singer who gets saddled with these terrible songs or to just kind of mediocre. I keep waiting for her to come out with something that really plays to her strengths rather than is just like. Here's Play. It's about breaking up with someone and telling them off. Like, whatever.
Yep. So, as of this moment, we have gotten a number of the songs already released. I believe we are only waiting on two at time of recording. The song by Blind Channel and Ilta. But we've heard Teflon Brothers featuring Pandora with the song I Love You. Mm-hmm. Oscar's song Lie, Play by Laura, which you just talked about. Axel's Hurt and Sina Paidana Kun Kaiki Rakkastu Amua by Danny. Danny, what do you have to say about your song? What do you have to say for yourself?
I tried my best and it won't be good enough.
Ouch. That's Finland for you.
Let's talk about that song by Danny for a second.
Yeah.
Because, hey, stop picking on me! Let's talk about it, though.
He hasn't heard this song, I'm guessing.
I have not.
Okay. It's funny because off camera or off microphone, our Danny was making a joke about Axel's new song called Hurt, and he started singing Johnny Cash's version of Hurt. And Finland's Danny's song reminds me a little bit of that.
It really does.
But in a positive, more uplifting way, believe it or not, that is possible. Danny, the Finnish guy... I'll just refer to him as Finnish Danny rather than our Danny.
Okay.
Is
Fanny for short.
Fanny, yes. Oh, wait.
That's not going to play in the UK. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. All right. Well, Finnish Danny is a 78-year-old singer who's been on the Finnish pop scene since the 60s. He actually took part in the Finnish national final back in the 60s and 70s, and he's giving it another go. His song basically translates as The Day When Everybody Loved Me, and it's him looking at the end of his life saying how he wants to be celebrated after he dies, basically saying, I don't care if you put me in a cardboard box, smile, find a good picture of me that they put in the newspapers, make my hearse a Mercedes-Benz. But it's wistful and it's sweet and it's sad, yet uplifting at the same time. And I watched it with subtitles because obviously I don't speak Finnish. And I was getting a little bit teary. I don't know about you guys.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful light. Heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard a song quite like this. Honestly, the comparison to the Johnny Cash version of Hurt is a bit apt because I feel like he recorded that knowing he did not have long.
Hmm.
And it comes out. I'm not saying this guy is about to die. I don't know that. But I'm saying that is sort of the idea. Or like Black Star by David Bowie.
Yeah.
A whole album of songs that he wrote knowing he was about to die. This evokes that a bit. It's powerful. And it's not an awful song or anything, which is very sweet. Yeah. I could really see them picking this, to be honest. Axel's song Hurt, on the other hand. I wonder how strong the pull is gonna be in like public votes for artists that didn't get their shot. So to speak. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
But Hurt it's a mental health anthem. It's very acoustic-y, more than Looking Back was. Has a bit of like a, almost like a Philip Phillips sort of vibe. Something like that. And it's the first of what I imagine will be a few songs that are basically about 2020. And for him, all of this craziness started a little bit differently than for everybody else. Because he won this competition last year. He won it very unexpectedly, and this song is about inspired by not just like winning it and then not getting to go to Eurovision, but about the response he got.
Well, the backlash.
The hate, as he put it. Exact phrase I'm seeing in an interview that I'm looking at is, the amount of hate was honestly something no one should experience.
Oh, poor kid.
And that's the reaction to him beating Cicciolina. I was as surprised as anyone, and I think we talked about this an episode or two ago. Guys, don't do this.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't do this. That had to have been basically the best day of this dude's life. And the overwhelming response online was justice for Cicciolina. You know, like root for that song. That's cool. Lift this guy up. You know what I mean? But now he's back with a song about that experience, about everything that happened after it, that just, you know, this entire storm of craziness, you know?
Honestly, good on him for getting up and trying again, knowing the lion's den that he had gone through last year.
Yeah. It's a solid song. I think I like it more than Looking Back, which is not to say I love it, but if this is to be a second chance sort of story, this is a good song to do it with.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's a much better song, I think. It feels a lot more earnest. I think the last one feels a little bit, like Looking Back just kind of felt like, yeah, this is the kind of song people sing to send to Eurovision.
Yeah, like anybody could have sung Looking Back. Not everybody could sing this song, Hurt, I think.
Well, like him and Danny, I feel like there is so much emotional investment in the song itself. Like they're singing, it's genuine. It's absolutely genuine. And it reflected in their performance. So,
not to belabor the point about Erica Vickman, just out of sheer curiosity, if I were to say to you that one member of the roster for the Finnish national final this year is Erica Vickman's ex-partner, who would you guess it would be?
Danny.
Is it Axel?
Is it Laura?
Ooh!
That would thicken the plot, wouldn't it? Is it
ex-Finnish Prime Minister Tarja Halonen?
I was just going to say, I know which one it is, so I'm going to just
Yeah, okay, so it was actually Danny. So there was about a 50-year age gap there. So, yeah, they were together for about 4 years. They broke up just last year, actually. So, yeah, that wasn't a 6 degrees of separation I was expecting to see on this roster, but or two, 1 degree of separation, really. But 78-year-old Danny is still getting it. Or up until recently was still getting it.
Well, you know what they say. You never know what you have until it's over and you're looking back.
Love you guys.
Speaking of
Please
I love
die.
You.
Like,
man, come on.
Wow.
I don't like a song anymore. It's kind of creepy.
Speaking of I love you, the song I Love You by, I didn't write down the artist. I just
Teflon Brothers.
Teflon Brothers. Of course. That's a normal name. This song is I feel like this is going to come up multiple times just in this episode, but it really feels like this is becoming the almost like weird subgenre theme of the year. Like how last year was trying to sound like Billie Eilish. This year it's the 80s.
Stranger Things finally got to Europe.
Yeah. there's so much like 80s inspired synthwave and stuff like that.
We're definitely going to get that when we get to Norway eventually, but yeah, that is the pulse currently rocking through Europe's veins.
It seems that way. I don't know if there's one thing in particular that just like set this off, or it's just a coincidence, or
it was the weekend. It was Blinding Lights.
Okay.
Fine by me.
I mean, yeah, all the 80s tinge stuff that we've had, Lost in a Dance that we talked about in Estee Lal is so good. And if you like that, I Love You by Teflon. How have I already forgotten?
Teflon Brothers.
Teflon Brothers. I want to
featuring
Teflon.
Pandora.
Yeah, Super Teflon okay. Brothers.
Super Teflon Brothers just slides across the. Anyway, it's good, and I feel like this is not the last time we're going to be talking about 80s vibes in this very show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next country we have on our little alphabetical list is Israel. As of recording, voting is currently open to pick between Edna Lenny's three songs for Rotterdam. She's got three up for grabs. Ooh La La, Set Me Free, and La La Love. And yeah, it's an online voting system. So if you have the interest, you can hop online and vote for your favorite of those three. The winner will be revealed on January 25th. So I have to say toda rabba. Thank you very much to the Israeli delegation for giving me a birthday present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We must talk about Italy.
Always.
We must for approximately 7 hours. First of all, not really. Something's going on with San Remo, it appears. Just ultimately a reconfiguration because of COVID, it seems like.
Which seems reasonable. You have to stay flexible when you're a broadcaster. You have to be able to pivot and roll with the punches, which I know is probably so, so difficult with a massive, massive program like San Remo.
What actually is going on? Are they just changing the schedule, or are they going to go to something like, say, Junior Eurovision did?
They're all going to record in their own country.
Yeah. Their own individual duchies. Yeah. What is going to happen, though,
I actually don't
with
know
them?
Basically, the short version is it is proceeding more or less as scheduled in terms of timing. It's going to be from the 2nd to the 6th of March, which I think is what was happening before. But there was a bit of a hubbub because there was a meeting between, is it Rai?
Mm-hmm.
RAI, yep. Okay. Yep. The broadcaster among their management. And I think it was mostly just speculation. It's like, oh, they're having a meeting about San Remo. Is something going to change? Are they going to cancel it? Are they going to do this and that? But it is proceeding, at least in terms of dates, as scheduled. Presumably, there will be no audience, that sort of thing. But in some form or another, the show must go on.
And considering how many hours of television programming goes on for San Remo, it would be pretty ridiculous of Rai to just cut
They'd
the
be
completely.
Dumb to just drop it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do. But honestly, the idea that the press is going crazy over they're having a meeting at Rai about San Remo, I'm like, it's a massive television show. Of course they're having meetings about it.
This just in, Disney is having a meeting about the MCU.
Really?
Oh man, Thor 7 confirmed.
The Thorining.
I mean,
I don't know where
it.
I'm going with that.
Right. Doesn't seem like
as long as Taika is involved, I'm in.
Ooh, yes, please.
Just so maybe there's just not that much to worry about. But still, with this year, what couldn't happen?
I don't know, but considering how big it is for both their television sphere as well as their musical sphere, some of the biggest hits of the year in Italy are launched at San Remo.
Mm-hmm.
It's we're in no danger of losing Eurovision's grandpappy. Okay, so we get to move over to Lithuania. Is that right?
That's next.
Tucson's out.
We hardly know.
Thank God.
Hey.
Honestly,
why do you
watch
hate
your
fun?
Mouth,
why?
Sir.
Why do you guys hate fun? And I'm saying that both to Derek, to Danny, and to the juries and televoters of Lithuania.
Because sometimes you just have to take things seriously for once in your life.
Then vote for tits and beans.
Okay.
There's a clear
difference between fun and grab ass. And
yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Tucson is there to, I feel like, just to take the piss out of Eurovision.
Yeah. I can't
so
take them seriously.
Fun.
It's fun, yes, but...
Yes, but there's Daddy Frere, and then there's Twosome.
I feel like to keep the MCU discussion rolling, this is 12 points for America's Civil War here. Sam, this is the hill that Sam and I will die on, which is that Twosome is great. And
no!
Yes.
Sicken me.
For sure, it's fine. In this analogy, Sam will be Iron Man, and I killed her father.
Hey, what?
They're going to say Sam will be Iron Man, and I will be on the right side of history.
Hey! Let me have my fun, goddammit.
I'm fine with it. Who else is there at Lithuania right now? We have Voldemort Peterson. Voldemort's Petersons.
Quick rundown. Voldemort Peterson. We had Tits and Beans. Martina just...
Okay, all right.
Militia and Biu are the five qualifiers. And now, Sam, go ahead and let us know correctly.
Okay, so Voldemort's Patrons. It's not Tits and Beans, no matter how much I want to say it's Tits and Beans. Do we even say Tits and Beans on the podcast without even getting it?
Oh, yeah, we can.
It's PG-13. We can do
it's
that.
It's a bird.
We're probably fine.
Tithas and Banas. It's Tits and Beans.
Yeah.
Martina Yezepchikaite.
That's impressive.
I'm guessing it's Yezepchikaite.
And then Milita, right?
Is it Milita or is it just Militia?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Milita. And then B-U, not yeah. B.
They're not saying boo, they're saying B-U.
I was saying B-U.
Did Lithuania just prepare their roster because there's someone over at their national broadcaster who listens to 12 Points from America and they went, have we got the lineup for them?
Well, we're sending the group anyways, so just get these clowns to fill out the roster.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my main reaction to the lineup from Saturday's show, and by the way, we haven't mentioned the name of the show because I don't know what it is, because from the first time I saw it, I just saw Panda Bomb is Now Joe. What is it actually called?
You're close. It's Pabandom Ishnaoyo.
Ishnaoyo? Okay.
Pabandom
Ishnaoyo. Pabandom.
Okay. Pabandom? Pabandom?
Pabandom.
All right. Panda Bomb it is. Yep. My main reaction to this, and this isn't the semifinal. This is like a heat to get into the semifinal, if I have that right, was that somewhere the Roop have got to be watching this and just breathing easy. Because nothing in this stood out to me. Yeah. I like not a lot of them were actively bad. I can think of at least one that was actively bad and it didn't qualify. And I don't remember what it is. And I'm not going to like shame whoever that was.
When the absolute highlight of the show was the interval act. Mm-hmm. Other than, of course, Tucson.
Oh,
but I
no.
mean, you'll argue about that till the cows come home. When after all the songs were performed, you had Basil and Anius, which I misheard as Basil and Anus first.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely sounds like Basil and Anus.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
Tits and beans, Basil and Anus. Wow, I am so proud of my quarter Lithuanian heritage right now.
Got
I have
it.
No idea.
Yeah.
I gotta get into these shows, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they were actually the most interesting part for
they
for
were
the
awesome.
Yeah. Basil had done the national final a couple years ago, actually, with a song called Why. And he's always had this sort of weird affectation in his voice, but I feel like it's been ramped up to 11.
Yeah, there's definitely some like vocoding going on. Like not even auto-tune, but like beyond that. Except it's still evocative and interesting and, dare I say, soulful at times. It takes a little bit of getting used to, I would say. But the second song they played, which is called A Song to Live, it's one of their hits, so to speak, from 2017. I guess that as a duo, they are a pretty big deal in Lithuania.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that song is great. And Basil is an incredibly enigmatic performer. Very, and I get this vibe from other performances I checked out and things like that. Very fashion forward. That's a big part of the art and of the performance for him. And they're really great.
Reminded me the way that they had him featured in the semifinal, like this, or the heat, however you want to put it. It reminds me of in 2017. There was a decent amount of push sort of behind the scenes in Kiev for Melvin. He had done a national final, didn't quite clinch the ticket, but he was sort of like buzzing around the back. And we saw him at parties, at the Euro Club and things like that. And everybody was like, oh, it's this guy. And we saw him obviously on stage at the national final and eventually in Lisbon the following year. And it almost makes me wonder, obviously this isn't the right year because the Roop, you know, the Roop's the Roop.
The Roop.
Part of me is wondering if Basil and Anius might be maybe checking out the waters to maybe swing into Panda Bomb is Now Yo for next year and maybe try to take it. If they're as big in Lithuania as we think they are, might be a decent move for them.
For sure. Yeah. If you're listening, Basil and Anius, bomb that panda. Do it.
Well, it moves us on to Norway, which is the one that I'm actually keeping a close eye on. No panda bombs here. No anus is here. But we do have...
We've got the blowing mafia.
Let me tell you. Okay, let me tell you. So we're talking about Blozomafians, Let Loose, which one semifinal won, and I'm going to say it very deservingly.
It was a surprise winner to a lot of the fans, but listening to that song... Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Performance too, like seeing that get through to the second half, and it was up against It was up against Faith Bloody Faith, wasn't it? In the first one?
In the first one? Yes, I think.
Okay. And like, that was a fun performance. It was exactly what you would expect. But then these guys did their thing and I just thought, that's really cool. I feel like that's going to get through. And then they showed it again against
Stina Talling.
Against Stina Elevate. Talling and just Elevate. Thought, no, I think it's this. Mm-hmm. This is definitely the best performance, the best thing going in this semi. It was super fun.
I encourage people to watch it because we've had a lot of brass riffs added to a lot of Eurovision songs. This is the first one in a while that I have seen. It's brass in its own right and really standing on its own two legs. It's really good.
I mean,
we have the opportunity.
Project vibes.
We have the opportunity for an epic sousaphone man.
Yes, we really do.
There's an instrument change in this for two of them. One of them switches from an alto sax to a tenor. The other goes from a trombone to a sousaphone. But yeah, it's like
will be tons of fun to watch.
Yeah,
my god.
Yeah.
Big mention of interval acts in this one too, I think.
Oh yeah,
because these are acts that are actually competing. They're going to be in the final. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the good one or the bad one?
Start with the good. Start with Kaino. All
right. So a little while after we recorded our last episode, Monument by Kaino dropped. Really quick, how do we feel about it?
Not bad. I like Spirit of the Sky better.
They
have a decent shot.
I like this one more immediately. It took me a while to actually get into Spirit in the Sky. I kind of glommed onto this a little bit more immediately. However, Spirit in the Sky was just so magical by the time it got to Tel Aviv. Also, the fact that they keep saying Thunder and Gloria is my grandmother's name, it kind of takes me out of the moment for a bit. Like, why are you singing about my nan? I do love the fact that there is more emphasis on Fred and mm-hmm. the Sami language being really, really beautifully featured. I was really happy to see that. So I can't really pick a favorite between the two, but solid. It's solid.
I think they've lost the element of surprise. So they have Fred singing the entire way through versus Spirit of the Sky. They kind of keep him secret for, 20, 30 seconds? Before they let him in?
Really,
yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. Now it's like, well, you know who we are. You know what we do. Here's a song that kind of plays up all those strengths rather than is coy about it or tries to surprise you. It's a little bit more, I think it's a little bit more mature sound rather than kind of gimmicky.
I can get on that.
They've also had 2 years to grow as an ensemble. Like Spirit in the Sky was their first song together, if I'm not mistaken. And they've had an album under their belt. They've got, a lot of touring, especially within the Eurovision sort of circle. They've collaborated with a number of artists. They really have a more established sense of self. You know, back in the national final for 2019, you could tell that they were still kind of getting those kinks worked out, but they liked each other and they worked well together. Now they're a much more cohesive unit.
Weren't they originally just going to do Eurovision and then move on?
Yeah, like Eurovision, maybe a couple of covers, and then they like, oh, we're just going to keep rolling on with this. And then their album Okta dropped, and it was really solid.
We're really good at this.
They're overwhelmingly positive. Why would you walk away from that?
They won the national. They won the televote. They won the public kudos, and that's massive.
Yeah. I'll just add, I agree that Spirit in the Sky is a better song. I think that doesn't necessarily matter in the context of how well it will do in MGP or how it would potentially do at Eurovision if it gets there. I think if it makes it, it would probably do very, very well. not just because it's Kaino, but because it has a lot of really good hooks to it. I think the structure is kind of interesting in terms of, it isn't just verse, chorus, yoik, chorus, like... Spirit in the Sky was it's a little more flowing and and stuff like that. I had some real concerns about the performance. I no longer have those concerns. The biggest one, we've talked about this, if you have a marquee high note,
you have to hit
a big point in the song, you have to hit it, and oh man, she nailed it.
Oh yeah,
she absolutely nailed it. I thought Tom was, I'll be honest, he's a little bit pitchy at times. At Eurovision, it didn't matter that much, obviously. I thought he sounded better as a vocalist in the performance of Monument than he did at the 2019 final. He sounded really good. Fred sounded really good. They sound better together than they ever have. And so I wish them luck. I think it is still a really good song, which brings us to...
I'll say, as good as Monument is, not only do I kind of like Let Loose a bit more, I also think I like Rayleigh's song a little more, too. Rayleigh is going to be in semifinal 2. This is the 80s bop that we foreshadowed earlier, and I think this one accomplishes its 80s task even better. So the song is called Hero, and this is, this is the 80s hero that we didn't know we needed.
So we're going to talk about what's going to pop up in Semi 2 in just a moment, but Eric, you mentioned that there was a high point from Kano's song that seemed to highlight that there was possibly going to be a low point from you. Did you have a rant coming on?
Oh, not about Kano's song, about the other song that was previewed.
That's what I meant.
Oh.
We mentioned, there's a good and a bad. And, Ticks.
This is Ticks. Ugh.
Yeah. You know.
Ticks. Norway, why? Because you got so many good songs. Such a wide variety of good songs in semifinal one. And then I got to deal with Ticks? Is this Norway's answer to Benjamin Ingrosso? Is this what's going on?
Benjamin Ingrosso didn't have wings.
Yeah, I feel this is Norway's answer to Connor for Real.
Oh,
in the movie Pop Star.
Yeah, Popstar.
This feels like a parody of
Eurovision itself, honestly.
When I first saw it, my brain went to back in 2016, Stephen Colbert post Eurovision did a quick bit on his late night show talking about how if America went to Eurovision, they would send this song, sort of like our version of Love, Love, Peace, Peace. It's called The Living Life by Nornas. Look it up on YouTube. It's great and sad and wonderful and horrifying. And I'm pretty sure that Nornas is literally just something he picked out of an IKEA catalog. But I was listening to Tix's song and my brain went right to Nornas, and now I have I Love Leaving the Living Life stuck in my head. So thanks, Tix.
That said, this song has already reached number 3 on the Norwegian pop chart.
Because it's mindless pop.
Like, he's a big name.
Name over there.
But this is the kind of pop that I would be like, ugh, this is like a effortless Justin Bieber release that also goes to number 1, but we also forget about it after 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Eurovision is going to be long past done in 6 months. So, so maybe that's fine for this. And I guess if you're like me and you don't like this at all, I hear you. My only thing, I guess, is just, I hate to say it, don't be shocked if this wins. Perhaps more importantly, don't be shocked if Kano doesn't. Again, please act appropriately, for the love of God. I love Kano as much as anyone.
It's true. Okay? He does.
I do. I really do.
He loves it more than as much as anyone, more than anyone else.
But it's okay. It's going to be fine. It's what I'm saying. I hope Kano wins. I would like to think that whatever juries are involved could very well sink this thing because...
Oh, true. Because, I don't think this is the sort of act to appeal to a jury.
Well, unless they're taken by it the way that the rest of Norway seems to be somehow. But I don't know. I'll also note, I think Norway does international juries to some extent. I don't know if they're going to go for it either. Somehow this is taking off. I don't know. And that's okay. That's okay.
All right. Well, looking forward to this weekend in Norway. As we mentioned, Rayleigh with Hero. It's interesting that Rayleigh has to go through the semifinal process, and yet Rain Alexander, who was also knocked out at the same level as Rayleigh, it gets a fast pass to the final. So it'll be interesting to see what Rain Alexander's song is, and is it that much better? We also have Daniel Owen with the song Psycho, and who else do we have? We have Maria Solheim with Nordlyset, which I'm assuming is in Norwegian. And the interesting name that I wasn't expecting to see at this national final, Kittel Stokkan with the song My Life Is Okay. Kittel Stokkan is a two-time Eurovision alum for Norway, singing for them in 1986 with the song Romeo, as well as in 1990 with the song Brandenburger Tor, in which he came dead last. So he's, he's given it another shot. Good on him.
You can't fault him for trying.
Yeah, I mean, may as well. So, yeah, pleasant surprise, I suppose. It should also be noted that all of the songs that have been eliminated at the semifinal level, like we've mentioned before, Stina Tiling and Jorn and Beattie Bell from this past week, all of those songs that get knocked out at the semi-level will go into a second chance round that will be held on February 15th. It was originally supposed to be just a radio-focused program with a public vote. They are switching that to a full-on actual televised show. All the artists are not going to be performing again. It'll all be pre-recorded performances. But one song out of the 15 that have been knocked out will get another shot. We might see Jorn with Faith, Bloody Faith. We might see Stina Tiling. We might see any of these other songs or a song that we haven't even heard yet. So stay tuned for that. That's the day after Valentine's.
I will note that that is a Monday, which is a little unusual. They're giving it a nice big special show, and then they're doing it on Monday night, which I'm not saying is like a slight or anything. It's just surprising.
It could just be that they needed more stuff to put on the calendar. Who knows? Anyway, looking forward a little bit, like we have mentioned multiple times before, we record this obviously a few days before it hits the airwaves. So by the time you are listening to the show, the songs for Portugal's Festival de Canção will be released and unleashed amongst the masses.
Unleashed.
Yes. One of my
favorite. It's their own panda bomb.
Ooh. So yeah, we will get all of those songs by the time that you hear this. Let us know which one's your favorite. Which ones are your favorites? Those are words that I can speak. Again, hit us up on social media, 12pointsUSA, Facebook or Twitter. Let us know what your favorites are. Also, by the end of this week, the two other songs from Finland's national final, like I mentioned before, they'll be released on the 21st and 22nd. January 23rd will be the second heat of Lithuania's national final, as well as the second semifinal for Norway. And yeah, by the time our next episode airs, we will actually probably have our song for Israel as well. Things just keep on happening, guys.
Yeah, it just snowballs from here too.
Mm-hmm. It's a big old Katamari of Eurovision.
Yeah.
Can we sing that? Are we allowed to sing that?
We're going to get
a party. Fine. We can cover it.
I can't wait.
Well, until we get sued by the Katamari people, you can check us out on social media. Check us out on Redbubble. Check us out on OnlyFans. Check us out on whatever you like. And we'd love to hear from you. Send us your questions. We really enjoyed that question that we had earlier. So if you have a question that you would like us to answer for the entire internet to hear, let us know.
Again, thank you to Carter S. for submitting that question. We really do appreciate it. You've actually sent us some pretty good ones in the past, so keep those coming.
I feel like we may be hearing from Carter S. again. We'll see.
Hey, Carter. We'll see. Thank you.
Shout out to the Carters.
Woot.
All right, y'all.
I don't know about you. I need to put my feet up. It's been a long day. It's going to be a long tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we will see you next time. Until then, I've been Eric.
I've been Derek.
I've been Samantha.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Ha ha ha.